It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have right around the corner Doug Haller. We're going to be real short here in the opening segment. Doug Haller with The Athletic, who has been working on the Arizona State football scandal story that broke yesterday, along with Yahoo Sports. But Doug was the first one to have it. And over at The Athletic, we will have Doug Haller with us. And then Carrick Felix will jump on in. Carrick Felix, of course, the former Sun Devil. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs, what the Suns can, can't do without Chris Paul. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Doug Haller breaking away for a couple of minutes here shortly on the Arizona State football story. So I'll start there. I'm not surprised. Been hearing stuff for the last couple of years, and you hear stuff, but when you start hearing stuff from coaches, and those coaches become former coaches, and then you start hearing stuff from people that are presently on campus, and I'm not in the space of every day, you know, following this stuff, but there was clearly in high school coaches, not only here in Arizona, but over in Southern California, up in Washington, with stories and stuff. I'm not surprised. So the big question to me is, what does Michael Crow do? You know, this is not, there are allegations, but there's a dossier that was turned in with photos and receipts and signatures and stuff. Okay, so they have something on ASU. They do. Now, well, they do this at other schools, and well, they're just singling us out. And this came from within the athletic department. Somebody internally, someone inside was accumulating this. Now, whether they were let go, I don't know who that person is, but it was clearly some people inside that had knowledge. And yeah, I've heard stuff the last few years. I think I've made pretty clear that the ascension of Antonio Pierce to me was, I don't get it. Just because somebody can recruit, but fans are so caught up in recruiting, rather than 17 wins, 13 losses. And he's part of the staff, okay? So stars mean jack to me. They don't mean much. They get people excited. But when you start hearing from many corners of the college football scene of, just so you know, the word's out on ASU. That's been that way for a couple of years. There is always something happening at Arizona State. It's always something university. It just is. That's not a criticism. It's a fact. You know, it could be Michael Crow getting into a spat with Ducey over whether to wear masks or not. It could be the baseball coach. It could be this booster with Bobby Hurley, being inappropriate with Bobby Hurley's wife. You just go on and on and on. And all I want is not to go to El Paso. All I want is not to go to some third-tier bowl game. All I want is to play in Pac-12 championships and have the program be in a place where every year it is one of the elite programs in the nation, rather than being talked about as elite. Because there's nothing elite about El Paso. If you're from El Paso, sorry. I'm right, you're not. You know, play in some Rose Bowl games other than UCLA every other year. Go to big places. Go to big heights. If you're a diehard Sun Devil fan, you know I'm right on this. You do. Is this a takedown job? If something was going on inside, there were not that many fans. And look, when coaches leave programs, they're going to be bitter. They're going to be resentful. I get it. When you leave a job, oh, those guys, if you get let go from you, oh, those guys, it's human nature. But I believe that Herm is a CEO. So Herm's not watching the attention to detail in recruiting. I've heard some recruiting stories from high school coaches here in the state and outside that were just like, really? Come on, that's going on at ASU? And the whole local thing, that's a completely different story than this conversation. You know, Rick Gerritsen takes Chandler High all the way down to U of A the other night, but can't get a sniff at ASU. Defending open championship program. It's a fact. So there's been some enemies that have been created within the high school and college coaching searches. I'm not saying Rick is bitter at ASU. I'm looking at that saying, how do you not have a relationship with the number one program in the state? So know, what the Athletic reported, Yahoo showing, reporting that the evidence was turned in yesterday, the NCAA has been on campus and all that. Yeah, it's early in this, but it's very fair because that's what fans want to know. Okay, are we going to have a new football coach? Is Antonio Pierce going to survive? When Todd Graham was hired by Michael Crow, Michael Crow told Todd to his face, if you ever cheat, you will be fired. All right, what happens here? And there's so much that is riding on a successful football season at ASU. The Desert Financial Arena definitely needs an upgrade. It's this idea that this is a great facility. It's probably the worst in the Pac-12. So if you have a great football season, as some on campus were telling me, we'll be able to afford to be able to do the renovation. All right. So all of this just in allegations right now, it's very early. But the fact that dossier showed up, come on, you can't ignore that. And for those of you that try and turn this in, well, U of A and Sean Miller, there was never a tape that was produced like this. There wasn't. So, you know, Chris Paul with COVID, clearly the story. He had his shot, thinking he should be cleared by tomorrow or Saturday. Devin Booker going to bring down the fan that was punching out the other guy that was caught on social media and giving him a signed jersey and all that stuff. Cute story. Don't approve of fan violence. Just me. The Diamondbacks, 22 losses in a row on the road. It's just, oh my gosh. And they're trying everything. You know, we got jerseys coming out. We got food here, and they're trying everything they can do, but never see anything like it ever here in Arizona, a team that was this bad. All right, Doug Haller, he is next with the Athletic. You want to stick around for that. And then Carrick Felix, former Sun Devil, breaking down the NBA playoffs with me. That's all straight ahead. All right, as promised, Doug Haller has put down his laptop because it's steaming smoke. He has not taken a nap. He actually looked pretty good given the magnitude of the story. So let's back up on this. It's all in the Athletic. You can see what Doug has put out. It is in some other outlets as well. Pete Dammel's done very good work on this too, and Bruce Feldman has done terrific work. I mean, the three of you have been digging around on this story. When did you first feel like, I've got something here I need to write about?
Gosh, the days run together, but let's see, today's Thursday. Maybe earlier this week, Sunday, Monday, around this time, we started, we had a lot of things out there. And the problem was, is there were like 9 different things we were hearing. And, you know, it's like prioritizing. And, you know, like a couple things, I'm like, okay, that's not believable. That's not worth my time. But the one thing that we kept coming back to were the recruits on campus during the COVID period. And I'll be honest, Brad, when that first, you know, when we first started hearing that, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Arizona State just had their season torpedoed by COVID. They played 4 games, couldn't do anything for a month because of a COVID outbreak. You know, why would they, you know, jeopardize all of that and have recruits? But, you know, as we kept digging around, you know, it seems to be the case. We'll see if it was, you know, 20 over 3 weeks, or if it was a lot more over 3 months. That's the big question. I think that's ultimately what's going to be the weight of this investigation.
Doug Haller with us with The Athletic. You can check out his content on the Arizona State story and the scandal. To you, what is the most damning piece of information that you've been able to get a hold of so far?
Probably Herm Edwards' potential involvement. And, you know, I say potential and everything because these are still allegations at this point. But, you know, I think anyone who's been around the program knows that Herm kind of takes a CEO approach. He was hired for that. And, you know, he coaches the coaches. You know, he's on the field working with the defensive backs. But he also delegates a lot of power. He gives his assistant coaches a lot of power, particularly with recruiting. You know, Antonio Pierce has been the force behind Arizona State recruiting, as you know, for the last 3 or 4 years. So it was wondering, you know, it was like, is this something that Antonio Pierce is doing on his own? You know, as well as I do, that they hired a bunch of young assistants. You know, maybe it was a case that, you know, they invited somebody, hey, there's nothing going on around here. If you want to stop by, we can show you around. You know, maybe it was a case of the young guys not fully understanding the rules that were in place, even though they do have to take tests before they can go out and recruit. But, you know, as things have unfolded, it does appear that Herm Edwards was aware of this. And that's probably been the most surprising thing. And again, these are just allegations, but based on the reporting of what we've done at The Athletic and what other people have done, it does seem like he was aware of it.
Okay. Antonio Pierce, to me, and I wrote about this, it was surprising as an understatement that he was already being pushed and promoted as the next coach and all of that. And I was hearing from coaches on the high school and college front a year and a half, 2 years ago that, hey, everything's not right at ASU, just so you know. And I'm not in that day-to-day space. So I'm really not that surprised by what has been reported so far by yourself, the dossier that reportedly is there, former assistant coaches that left bitter, former assistant coaches that were in the National Football League that felt like they were going to be given a great opportunity here. You have a great former Sun Devil in Derek Hagan, who's no longer here. You have a lot of former coaches and people with ties to the university and to Herm that would be bitter, Doug, from my view. Are you sensing that in your reporting?
Yeah, there are some people who I've talked with who are bitter. And, you know, I try to figure out from the get-go, Brad, if someone has an axe to grind.
Correct.
It doesn't mean that what they're telling you is not the truth, but it does maybe slant their recollection of things or their view of things. So, you know, you keep that in mind. To be honest, the people I've talked to, it's really difficult. You know, current staffers, former staffers, inside the football offices, inside the athletic department, sources tied to recruiting. You know, it's hard to get people to say anything negative about Herm Edwards because he's such a good guy.
Right.
The other part of it, you know, that hasn't been the case with some other people. I'll leave it at that. And the other thing is, it's really hard to kind of separate fact from fiction in situations like this is, you know, no one likes to gossip more than college football coaches, especially when another school, a rival school, a conference school is in the crosshairs. So, yep. You know, it's really hard to kind of figure out, like, okay, are you piling on? Is this an example of, hey, this happened, and then you dig a little bit, and it's like, well, I heard this from this person who heard it from this person who may have seen it on a message board. So that part's been really difficult. You know, some of the things that came out, and I believe in the Yahoo story, are things that, you know, we had heard earlier. We just didn't have the sourcing where I felt comfortable behind it.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. That's part of the process, I think.
It's really frustrating, though, when someone else has it.
I get that. The dossier part of it, when people are trying to compare this to Sean Miller in the U of A, it's like, no, they have the pictures. They have the receipts. They have everything dropped off at Arizona State's front door, where U of A, where's the tape?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, am I right on that?
Without question. And let me backtrack on your previous question about what's the most surprising thing. That is the most surprising thing, is the fact that, you know, whoever has that information, and I don't know if it will ever be revealed who delivered that to compliance. As you can imagine, I'm sure you've heard names, I've heard names, but the fact that's coming from inside the building. And that shows you where the culture may be. You know, you don't see often, college football's kind of eating their own, so to speak, I guess, eating its own. But that is the most surprising thing, that this has come, you know, that kind of detailed information.
I think when Kevin Mawai put up a Bible verse earlier this week that was in Shawshank Redemption on his Twitter feed, I was like, wow, okay. There's just things that you just haven't seen in former coaches that would go to such length as show their disdain for the university. And I think towards Antonio Pierce, if we're cutting through all this, Doug, it's a lot of it's directed towards Antonio, jealousy or not. The question that I have is, I think it's very fair that fans are asking, what happens next? From my view, given Michael Crow's strong stance, and I remember Todd Graham telling me when he was hired that Michael Crow told me to my face that if I ever cheated, I would be fired. And Todd had no reason to tell me that other than just straight up. Now, that was Todd, $14.5 million later, by the way. Do you think that this will cost Herm his job?
That's hard to answer, just because we don't know what the investigation is going to reveal. And like I said, it could be not as bad as it appears, that maybe people embellished a little bit in what they have said or seen. Herm Edwards is 67 years old. He has said before, this is his last job. He's not looking to go out and coach in, you know, in the NFL again or anywhere else. If I will say this, if the heat continues to rise, you know, I would be surprised if it gets that far with him. You know, I just don't think I would not be, he just not, I don't think he's at a point in his life that he would be willing to go through a lot of stuff.
I agree. I think he'd sail off, my own opinion.
Yeah, that's a popular opinion. We'll have to see how far it goes. And the unpredictability is, you know, NCAA investigations, as we have seen in this state, can take years. Right. I mean, so it could be a situation where, you know, Herm, you know, kind of coaches his contract and retires when he always has meant to retire. And we may not have resolution on this. It's one of those things that, you know, the NCAA is just, you can't predict that part of it. But, you know, we're day two of this. So, you know, I don't think we've gotten to the depths of what might possibly come up. So we'll have to see. And I think, you know, it could take a number of turns. So we'll have to see, but it's a bad look for the program. No doubt any rule breaking is, but you know, also, you know, Herm had tested positive for COVID, you know, and at every point, you know, when he talked to us in the media, he urged people to take it seriously. You know, it's just not a good look to show that you weren't, that the program that you worked for wasn't taking it seriously either. You know, having people on campus who had traveled, you know, during this difficult time, it's just a bad look.
Okay, Antonio Pierce, what happens with him? Is he on the sideline on opening day, opening night against Southern Utah?
I don't have the answer to that. I don't know. I don't know. Someone asked me how much will the university shield those two, because, you know, they're ASU football. They're the two most powerful people in ASU football, obviously the head coach, but Antonio Pierce is right behind him. That will be interesting to see. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know, because I just don't know how quickly we'll find any sort of resolution. And I assume that the NCAA will, you know, reach out to, you know, the recruits who were allegedly on campus during this time, who some are at different universities. That may take a while, and you know, that'll be interesting as well, because as others have pointed out, you know, they won't have any loyalty to ASU to, you know, maybe hide the truth. So that'll be a big part of this as well.
I've seen you talk with Michael Crow one-on-one. You do great work. You know Michael Crow enough. What do you believe? Have you spoken with him yet? And what do you believe is going through his head on all of this?
I've not spoken with Michael Crow. My guess would probably be frustration. Michael's been very vocal throughout my time covering ASU that, you know, we are not going to be a football factory, that we're not going to pay incredible salaries like others to, you know, try to steer towards success. I mean, he's pretty much said that we're going to do it the right way. You know, it, you know, and obviously Michael Crow has great loyalty in Ray Anderson, and, you know, Ray Anderson has great loyalty to Herm Edwards. Yep. You know, in some ways, I think Ray Anderson and Herm Edwards are kind of tied to each other. I think they, from the moment he hired him, I think they kind of, their futures were kind of brought together. So, you know, I'm sure there have been some meetings these past few days about what's going on. And, you know, at this point, I think that when you're starting from a point where there's supposedly receipts and all this documentation, that it's probably best, you know, you don't want to get caught, you know, lying and then have to pay the price for that later. So, you know, Arizona State's best position. You know, we might see something like Arizona, a self-imposed penalty. You know, no postseason. We could see that from Arizona if they get to that point. But it's going to be an interesting couple of months, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I'll let you get some back at it because I know you're jamming. Thanks, man. Appreciate the time. Stay well.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
There's Doug Haller, and we're back with more. You can check out all of his content at The Athletic. We're back with more after this timeout. As promised, let's turn our attention now to the NBA playoffs and Carrick Felix, the former Sun Devil, former NBA.
How are you?
Yeah, it's good to see you. Jump on in here for a few minutes. I know that there's a whole bunch I want to get to with you. So let's get the playoff stuff out of the way first. And there's some things that you're doing I want to get into. So if Chris Paul does not play, I'm not going to go down the COVID-19 stuff.
Oh, man.
To me, Carrick, it's a dumb question. Well, if Chris Paul doesn't play, can the Suns win the Western Conference Finals? The answer is no. So do we really need to go down this rabbit hole? Or are you like, come on, Brad, campaign.
Brad,
do you think they could take down either team without Chris Paul?
To be completely honest, I think the Suns do have a good chance. Because I think it's the city is fueling kind of the Suns, their drive right now to kind of keep pushing forward. I mean, I think Chris Paul, whether he's playing or he's not playing, I think he showed that his presence is felt on and off the court. And I think right now with the rhythm and the way the guys are playing, Chris Paul is a great addition to him, but I don't think it's going to stop them from continuing to push forward. I mean, they're playing unbelievable right now. I mean, it'd be very interesting if they don't make it to the Western Conference Finals and not win it. So,
okay. So if Chris Paul doesn't play because of the COVID-19 restrictions, you believe that campaign and the rest of them are fueled enough by the crowd.
Yeah.
Now, some people think the crowd is just hype. Is it? Is it just hype that there's a big crowd? Or do you really believe they can be a tidal wave even in the road games? Because they were Denver. They were in Denver. I'll admit that.
Yeah. Suns in four. Everyone's talking about that. That's funny. No, I mean, I think the crowd plays a huge part in it. I think since everything's opening up, I mean, obviously we've been closed down. I think the energy just in itself in the Phoenix Talking Stick Arena it's so electrifying. And I haven't been yet, but just seeing it and just being a former athlete, I just know what that can do for you as a player. And especially on the road too, as they go, it seems like a lot of people, since again, we're able to travel, are getting up out of their homes and traveling to, again, you saw a lot of fans that were in Denver. You saw a lot of fans that went out to LA when they were playing the Lakers in the series. So I think with the city behind the Suns, I think they can do anything. It's just going to be if they can stay healthy. That's what I think, if they can stay healthy.
So better matchup for them as they're constructed. And you talk about health, and I'll get into that in a minute because that's been a whole separate topic that LeBron has been weighing in on and others. But the better matchup for them in the Western Conference Finals, is it Utah? If Mike Conley's able to play, Conley didn't play last night. Is it the Clippers? Kawhi didn't play last night. They still found a way to win. Who's the better matchup for the Suns, in your opinion?
The better matchup for the Suns, I think, in my opinion, I would definitely have to go with the Clippers. Just because even though they're a little bit older, I feel like they're a little bit more beat up. I'm afraid for the Suns to play the Jazz just because of Rudy Gobert. I think he's just such a dominant force underneath and a rim protector. I think that's what LA was missing with AD being out. And it was easy for the Suns to kind of rip them apart and get the easy layups and some of their young guys to be able to score some easy baskets underneath the hoop. But I think if the Suns can get the Clippers for sure, I think the series, I think it'll be good for them. I mean, maybe three, maybe they can do it in, maybe not four, maybe do it in five. But I think it's a good chance that they can play the Clippers.
All right. One other basketball thing, and then I'll get you out of here with some of the stuff that you're
doing.
So, So LeBron talking about the number of star players being injured, and it is.
Yes.
You know, if it's Kyrie, if it's James Harden, if it's Mike Conley, if it's Anthony Davis, if it's just right down the list.
Getting old.
Joel Embiid. So the grind of an NBA player in starting the season just a couple of months after the bubble last year. You know, I've seen you work out and you're trying to take care of your body and you're not out there every night. People are like, they fly first class, they fly private, they, you know, they stay in five star. Is it, we just don't know the grind these guys are putting through their bodies, because the numbers don't lie about star players missing time. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you said it just right there. It's just so many people see everything on the outside, right? They see the player playing, and they see, you know, the dunks. They see the highlight reels coming in with the crossovers and the 3-point shots. But there's so much time that goes into obviously getting to that point where you can be the best player or just playing in the NBA in general. So I mean, these guys are, you got to think, while these guys are traveling, you know, they have their slots where they're getting in. They're still getting in their workouts. They're still getting in, you know, their rehab times for their bodies. You know, they're still getting, you know, they're still having practices, but sometimes on the road, what they'll do, and when I was playing, you know, they'll bring in the younger guys and they'll bring in some of the older players, and, you know, they'll take them to the gym, they'll get up shots, they'll play 2-on-2, they'll play 3-on-3. And even during this time, just because to keep guys ready, no matter what. So I think with last year, with it being in the bubble and the season going a little bit longer and being shorter, to basically just restart this next season, I think a lot of guys, they didn't have a lot of time to rest. And I think it's showing, especially with a lot of the older guys. But, you know, a lot of people have to understand, like, there is so much work still being put in at this time in the weight room and the gym, for these guys to even be able to step on the court in the playoffs and actually perform and play. It's not just like a push one button, go out there, play, it's over, go home, take 3 days off, play again. It's, you know, you go out there, you play, you go home, you rehab, you rejuvenate, and then you practice, you get up shots, you get in the gym, and then it's, you know, it's the rinse and repeat over and over again. So yeah, there's a lot of work being put in the back end.
Okay. So help me out on the rhythm side of it. The Suns will probably have been 7 days, maybe 9 days since they played a game. Now, some people be like, oh, that's so great, they're going to be rested. But it's actually reverse, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely reverse, because not playing for so long, you know, versus different competition and versus your opponent. I mean, you know, obviously you have your advantages with getting your rest and having your time out. But, you know, you also have that disadvantage as the other team is getting rhythm and they're still playing. That you have to worry about. And with the Suns being out, I definitely believe that, you know, right now what they're probably doing, they're probably playing game time situations in practice. They're simulating, whether it's, you know, 5 minutes on the clock, they're at five, whether it's like 10 minutes on the clock, they're down 10 and they have to play there. So they're playing small games while they're in practice. But, you know, to be able to convert that after 7 days, I mean, they're going to be a little rusty at first. Mm-hmm. I think when you have that much time off, it benefits you in the long run, because usually a team can shake off the first game. And then after that, they're real rusted. They're back in the flow and kind of things work good. So, yeah, that's definitely something to worry about when you're a playoff team or just playing sports in general.
Before I get you out of here, things that you're doing, things that now that you're back in the valley that fans may not know about that you're taking part in business-wise, put basketball off to the side for a minute.
So right now, you know, there's a lot on the plate, a lot of good things. You know, it's been a very positive year. I know since COVID, there's been a lot happening. There's been obviously the lockdown, people have been inside. But I've been able to capitalize just on my personal growth. I've been able to get into a lot of different things. Right now, some of the current projects I'm working on, one being this little device here, which is called a pincher. It's a it's actually pretty cool. It's
show that again. Show that again.
Yeah, let's see. It's called a pincher. So it's a, it's a, basically it's clean pinch and a wipe. It cleans your glasses, your strings. Yeah.
That's it. So you're sitting there one day and you're like, why do I have this big cloth, this huge cloth, when we could just do a tiny little thing? That's smart.
Yeah, no. So basically the idea came from exactly what you said. You know, one day I was trying to figure out how to clean my glasses. You know, I used a paper towel, obviously everyone uses their shirt. And I used a bunch of different things around the house. And then finally, after buying so many microfiber cloths, I came up with a different microfiber cloth design. And then from there, everything just kind of came into place. I networked with the right people, got into the manufacturing process. So I'm getting ready to launch that here at the end of July. So that's one of the projects I'm working on. And then my big project for my personal self is I'm getting ready to run 31 miles August 31st. This was for my 31st birthday last year. I told myself I was going to do it, kind of fell short. But this year, what we're going to do is we're going to try and raise some money for each mile that I'm going to be able to run to give it back to charity and give it to just, again, small group homes and looking at just doing community events and just giving back as much as we possibly can. I have a nonprofit called IMC Family. IMC Family, it's a nonprofit organization. And our whole goal is to inspire, motivate, and change and help as many young adults as possible with giving them the right direction and the right tools to be able to continue going forward as, you know, things change in the world. So,
okay. So I gotta let you explain it.
Yes.
You're not running this in Phoenix in August, 31 miles. You're going to go to like Flagstaff, do some altitude. You're going to go to the beach. You're going to go from Carlsbad to Point Loma and back. No, you're really going to run 31 miles here.
Yeah. So I'm going to 31 miles here. Yeah. I know. It'll be interesting. I mean, I'm a little afraid of the heat, but you know, I'm from here. I think it'll be a good milestone and accomplishment, just not for me, just for the city itself. And just as we're getting back to, as you say, normal life. I think it's just it's a way for me to kind of show people that, you know, you can keep going. You can do the impossible even when, you know, things are down. So city of Phoenix is where it definitely needs to be. I would love to do it at the beach, but yeah, no, I'm here to stay. So.
All right. If people want more information, do you have all that stuff laid out yet? Or is it just, it's coming, check back?
Yeah, no. So if people want more information, I mean, right now you can just go to my social media. It's just Carrick_Felix. That's my Instagram, as well as Twitter. And then if you want any more information, you can go to imcfamily.com. That's pretty much the website, and we'll start getting some stuff up there here soon. It's kind of was like a last minute thing. I kind of just made the decision about a month and a half ago, so been training ever since. So I'll definitely keep you updated, so you can update everyone about any new information, and then yeah, we can just go from there.
All right. And when he says he's been training, I've seen him. He's training. He is sweating like buckets to get in shape. You're crazy. But I do appreciate you coming on. And
I appreciate you having me. I will. Thank you. Appreciate that, Brad.
You got it. There's Carrick Felix, and we're back with more after this timeout.